birds flying high. You know how I feel. Sun in the sky. You know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by. You know how I feel. It's a new dawn. It's a new day. It's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.
Welcome back. It's a brand new year here on the Mr. Fix-It Show.
Carol is in Palos Park.
Brand new you.
I had gray horned owls in my backyard for over 16 years.
Brand new Lou.
And
who?
Great horned owls.
Who?
Oh.
Oh, who are we kidding? He's the same old Lou. But that's why we love him.
You're a shit.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
That makes me laugh. Hi, everybody. 7:09 in the morning, the Mr. Fix-It Show, the first one of 2016. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Ace Hardware. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. That's also our text line. We'll do our Just Text Me segment after 9:30 this morning. And we've got information for you this morning that we can help you with. A brand new design service that's out there that essentially, well, Lindsay's going to tell us all about it after 8:30. We're going to have a discussion about what this process is and how you can pay a small fee to help you change the look of your home. And what we're going to try doing this year, you know, everybody does these years in review all the time, and we were talking about a new Noodaloo 2, which, and by the way, good morning, Lindsay. Let's get her on the air over there if we can. Still there?
Oh, hi. Oh, are you talking
hi,
to me?
Hi, how are you?
Who are you talking to?
Happy New Year.
Oh, I'm good. I was you? Not paying attention. Mike Steven came in here,
oh, that's
and
good.
I was chatting with him about the new year.
Yeah, right. Well, tell him to back off, okay?
Sorry. He's gone. We had a security escort him out.
Right, exactly. Get him out of the building. We were going to do our Noodaloo 2 that got sent to me, which is one of the coolest things I've ever seen, by the way.
I can't wait to see it. I mean, I've seen it, but yeah. I haven't.
Okay, but I'm going to preface it. Well, I don't want to give it away.
Okay.
Because because I'm with a group of people, they sent it to where we were and I got to show it and try it all out with everybody.
Nice.
It's the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Nice.
Doesn't sound as good as I want it to sound.
That's what you said. Well,
right.
I'll test it out.
But we'll figure it out. So anyway, you had a nice New Year?
Super nice New Year. It was, you know, like you were saying, talking about with Mike, it's definitely more low key when you've got young kids. So we just kind of
right.
hung out at the house and made a nice dinner. No tacos. Only steak.
So it really wasn't a successful yeah. New Year's.
Then we were in bed by like 12:30.
Good night. Happy New Year. Night.
Get out of our yeah. house.
Yeah. Very nice. Good for you. Good for you.
And
Happy
you?
New Year
you did?
You. We had a great time. We were with a big group of friends. And surprisingly, I was up until like 1:40.
Wow.
I was like, who are you?
Who are you?
And, I know. Amazing. But we had a really nice time with a nice... No idea. No idea.
They're still up.
You know, they're still... No, they're all asleep right now, that's for sure. And though I can't see her, hopefully she's still sitting there. Veronica Carter, are you standing by your microphone there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, Wari. Welcome back to WGN. You and I worked together a number of years ago. And then you went over and were doing a fine job at WBBM for, I used to listen to you, you know, when I would do my research.
Ah, okay.
You know,
traffic.
Keeping up on the competition.
I was going to say, traffic and weather,
right.
blah, blah, blah.
Exactly, exactly. No. But you did a great job over there. And I'm so happy to hear your voice again on WGN.
Thank you. You know, the thing is about here, you know, because that's a okay place to work, too. There's nothing absolutely wrong with it. But this feels like home. It really does. You know, it's
That's
just
great.
So homey.
That's great. So
I love
nice.
It. Yes.
That's great. And So are we, is it official that you and I are going to be working together on Saturdays?
I do believe so. You know, there's...
Or are they still working all that out?
There's a little bit of working, but, because, you know, I said I'm flexible, but I like the mornings. I'm a morning person, so. And I like you, Lou, so.
Right. I'm flexible, but boy, the Saturday morning thing, I wasn't talking about that flexible.
No,
well,
I actually...
However it works out. I'm happy that we're working together today, and hopefully we can do that in the future.
Yes, yeah. Like I said, I like getting up early, so I'm more productive.
That's great. All right, good. We'll talk to you in a little bit. Let's do this. Let's start out 2016. By the way, Lindsay, do we have a bunch of stuff on our prize list still now for 2016?
Let me take a look here. We've got a few things, yes.
All right, well, Diane is going to be our first caller from Park Ridge. Let's give her something. She's the first caller of 2016.
All right, well, how about a Mr. Fix-It Lou's Crew t-shirt, courtesy of our friends at Fox Home Center in Alsip and created by Rags of Honor, helping veterans get back on their feet.
Love it. There's Diane in Park Ridge. Hi, Diane. Happy New Year. How can we help you?
Well, Happy New Year to you, Lou. I have two Toto toilets, and they're about 5 years old, and I did go online to try and see how to fix it, but the... One toilet, the water keeps running into the fill tube. It doesn't stop. And I'm wondering, do I have to replace that hole? It runs into the, like, yeah. Do I have to replace that whole valve? Or is there something I can adjust?
So, in other words, you've got the actual water flowing is not stopping at all.
Right.
You flush the toilet, the tank fills up, it goes up over the top of the overflow tube, and it just keeps going.
Yeah, just barely. And then the water is pouring out of that tube from the fill valve.
Right. So the Toto toilets, they have, depending on the ages, there's no ball and rod in that one, right? It's a pressure valve down low. Okay.
And according to the YouTube, I have the old style, too, a type A instead of a B.
Right. When you look down inside there, do you see a little set screw or anything
on
top of that?
Yeah.
Have you turned it and nothing happens?
You know, I was afraid to turn it if I didn't know which way to turn it, if something would come apart or what.
No. So here's what I would try when we get off the air. take the lid off, take a screwdriver down in there, turn that screw a half a turn. Actually, turn it all the way to the right until it stops.
All right.
And see if the water stops.
Okay.
Then flush the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
And no water should come out.
Okay.
And then loosen it maybe one complete turn and get set that water level because it's a pressure valve. And see if by articulating that screw and the pressure valve that's inside there, you may fix it just by doing that. If that does not do it, then you have to replace that fill valve. And you don't have to use a Toto fill valve. You can use a universal fill valve if you want. Actually, one of the better ones is called Fill Pro, and it's a small pressure fill valve that you can replace from there, and then it has a long tube that goes in right where your existing one goes, and it's about, I don't know, $15 at the hardware store.
Okay.
But it may just be, you're not going to do anything wrong by turning the screw. If for some reason the screw snaps off or something, you've got the valve underneath the toilet that you can turn it off to shut the water off.
Right. Well, that's where it is right now, yeah.
Right.
And if I have to replace that fill valve, is there a trick, any trick or thing I'll run into that surprises me?
So you're going to flush you're going to turn the water off to the toilet. You're going to flush the toilet. There's going to be water left at the bottom of the tank,
right.
And so you can take a rag or a washcloth to sop up whatever you can.
Yeah.
Then put a rag on the floor underneath it. You're going to take the water line off from the stop underneath, and then you're going to disassemble. You could probably need a pair of channel locks or pliers. Usually you can do it by hand, but if it's been 5 years, it might be stiff.
Okay.
And you're going to loosen that up and take that entire assembly out. A little bit of water is going to drip on the rag you put on the floor.
Right.
Then you clean up. There may be a little sediment or stickiness around the hole that's in the bottom of the tank. Clean that up a little bit, like maybe with a Scotch-Brite pad. Make sure that it's nice and clean. Then the new FilPro has a rubber gasket that you'll slide in from the top going down.
Okay.
And then you'll tighten it up. You'll connect the water line. You'll put the fill tube into the overflow. That's it. I mean, it's really a simple installation.
Okay. Now in the other toilet, the bowl doesn't seem to have a lot of water in it. And I'm wondering, is there a way to adjust that, my second toilet?
That same screw that you're going to use to see if you can lower the water, you're going to loosen that up to raise the level.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so loosening it would turn it the other direction then? You said turn it right
righty,
on the first toilet.
Righty-tighty, lefty-loosey.
Lefty-loosey. Okay. All right, well, thank you very much.
Have a great day. Hang on a second so we can get you out that Mr. Fix-It t-shirt from Fox Home Center and made from our friends at Rags of Honor. It's 7:18 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
Time to get to work this weekend. Got a question for Lou? Give us a call right here on the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
7:22 in the morning, the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN Chicago. Good morning, everybody. My thanks, by the way, to Dave Plyer, who filled in last week when we took the day off after Christmas and had a couple of guest answerers in, which was very nice. A couple of guys from the NARI group that we talk a lot about, so I appreciate them coming in as well. And hope you all had a wonderful Christmas and a great new year, and looking forward to spending the next year with you on Saturday mornings here on WGN. And that's who called this morning, Kathy, who's in Beverly. Kathy, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, Lou. Healthy, happy, prosperous new year.
Thank you. To you as well.
I have two questions. I've inherited a house that was built in 1939. And I need to do a whole lot of rehab to it. I have settled on a couple of contractors, and today I'm headed out to a builder supply outlet because I need to pick out new doors for the rear entrance and below it the entrance to the basement.
Good place to go.
Right. I have my measurements. The carpenter told me that the ones that are the entrance to the basement, and typical of houses of this age, you go down like 3 or 4 steps and then enter the basement there, and I can also get down from the first floor of the house.
Okay.
He suggested going with fiberglass doors because they'd be more moisture resistant. But he did say that because they'd be insulated on the inside, that the insulation would start to deteriorate from the moisture. Do you know anything better than or to overcome that? About 2/3 to 3/4 of the door would be below the sidewalk level, you know, below grade.
Right, but it's a – but when you go below grade on the outside, you have a couple steps and there's a concrete little landing.
With a drain. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know that I would agree with the assessment that the insulation would that would be an issue for a fiberglass door. I mean, one of the – you know, one of the benefits of these fiberglass exterior doors is that they're much better insulated than a steel door from a thermal break between the warm and the cool space. It's marginal. I mean, it's not a huge difference, but it is better. There's no question. And the issue would be from a finishing perspective. You know, if you're painting it, or you can even stain a fiberglass door, it can sometimes mimic the look of wood. Now, in a door that you're putting below grade, I'm assuming you're probably just going to paint that door?
Probably, yeah. Nothing fancy.
I would have no qualms, Kathy, telling you to put a fiberglass door down there at all. I would not worry about anything falling apart or breaking apart.
Would there be any benefit, even if it's minimal, in painting it, to paint it with epoxy, or would the fiberglass take epoxy?
It'll take the epoxy, but there's no reason to do that.
Okay.
Just an exterior grade paint, both inside and out. And if it's installed correctly, caulked correctly, all that stuff, then you shouldn't have an issue with it at all.
Okay, there will be two doors down there. Would there be any benefit on the exterior one of getting it non-insulated so that it wouldn't be deteriorating from the inside? Okay, all right.
No, that argument, the deterioration argument is not a – you will not ever see that door deteriorate.
Okay, I've never seen standing water there. Occasionally I'll get snow up against it, but I can remove that. But I just, you know, again, trying to troubleshoot. One more question, if I may.
Sure.
Okay. Previously, you have mentioned a device that is like a vacuum device to be used when with home remodeling projects. And I've got so many that will be going on, I figured it would be easier for me to purchase it and ask a contractor to use it on each individual job.
Oh, yeah,
If I build can get the name and or the contact information.
Build Clean is the product that is a air filtration system. Lindsay, that thing was expensive, wasn't it? Do you remember? Was it in the $300 or $400 range?
I believe so. Yes.
Yeah.
Cheaper than a new.
So I think the. Are you true? No. I'm not opposed to you buying it. Mm-hmm. I just want to let you know that it's not something you're going to go buy for $100. It's an air filtration system for remodeling that you can put out there to help filter the air, and it does a terrific job. It's got great reviews. I believe the website is buildclean.com.
That's right.
And
is Clean, and so if C-L-E-A-N?
C-L-E-A-N, correct.
Okay.
And so if you go take a look at that website, you can find it and be able to, you know, get something like that and see if that helps you out from all that project.
Thank you. And it's
you got it. Have a great
Veronica Carter back home.
Isn't that nice? I agree with you. Thanks so much for calling. 7:28 in the morning. The Mr. Fix-It Show will be. I'm sorry? Oh, we can take another call.
Yes, sir.
I love the new year when we don't have a gazillion commercials. I'd like to talk to Eric, who's on the line. Eric, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. I poured drain cleaner into a clogged stainless steel kitchen sink, and it stained it the dingiest shade of gray you've ever seen. How can I fix it? Yeah, that's what I've tried everything.
What kind of drain cleaner?
It was a professional stuff that comes like in a triple bag.
Oh boy. Okay.
Yeah.
Your only chance is to get a cleaner like Barkeeper's Friend.
Okay.
And get a green Scotch-Brite pad.
Okay.
Sprinkle it around the stained area, and then with the grain, try and bring back some of the luster of that stainless steel. If that doesn't work, the next thing to do is there is a stainless steel sink refinishing kit that is a series of very fine sanding pads, super fine sanding pads. And you're actually going to put the graining back in to the sink. You have to do this with the grain. Surge is the name of the kit. It's like $10, and it's S-E-A-G-E? Something like that. S-E-A-G-E. Siege.
Can I get it, Dave?
You can. Not all of them have it, but you can. And it's a little kit. It's about $10. And it really does work.
Yeah,
but you may have... Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say I'm disappointed, you know, the way it came out, because I've tried everything. I did something dumb. I had poured some kind of stuff into the sink. It got clogged, and I should have known better ahead of time. I figured, oh, I'll just pour the drain cleaner in there. Filled it up with the drain cleaner, and it came out. And it's only one side of the sink, but it's like, you know, yuck when you look at it.
I know.
I have the actual website.
Oh, yeah, hold on. Lindsay's got the website. What's the website, Lindsay?
It's siegeclean.com, and siege is spelled S-I-E-G-E.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Got it. Yeah, so with these drain cleaners, it's tough, especially with those. You know, I think what happens is people run to the hardware store, and they, you know, they're like, oh, give me the best one out there. You know, Drano and Liquid Plumber are you know, they're okay products, but they're not they're full of water more than they are of chemical. And so when you go to the other ones where you know, they got the bag in them, they're super industrial strength. I'm not a huge fan of using a lot of chemicals down there, but you have to be very careful using it because it can damage a sink. And so one of the tricks, if you're for those listening, if you're ever going to use a drain cleaner, make sure that you add a little more water. If the clog is down in there and the sink is dry, add water so it dilutes a little bit. The whole idea behind these chemicals is that they're heavier than the water. They go down to the drain, clog, and start to break apart whatever is there. And then you can minimize the risk of damaging the sink. And so that's always a real problem when you're using these chemicals. But hopefully one of those two tricks will at least make it a little bit better. Thanks so much for the phone call. 7:32 in the morning.
You're listening to Lou on the Mr. Fix-It Show. Come on, wake up. The weekend is here. Right here on Chicago's very own 720 WGS.
But I feel better when I'm dancing. Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, I like this. 7:36 in the morning, the Mr. Fix-It Show with me, Lou Manfredini. Hi, everybody. Happy New Year. So two things it's hard for me not to talk about is the Noodaloo 2 that we were going to do this Saturday, but we decided to wait till next Saturday, and I'm looking right at it right now. And I really am so excited about it because it's so cool looking. And Jackie's Mom's Seasoning.
So, ooh, I know. We have to do that one.
I know. But I don't want to talk about Jackie's Mom's Seasoning until people can buy it somewhere.
Have you been using it?
I have. Mm-hmm. And can I tell you something? So I did a little, you know, because I'm all about the Instagram now. You can follow me on Instagram. How do people follow me on Instagram?
At Lou Manfredini.
Okay. So it's my new thing now. I think I like it better than anything else now.
Good.
Although my kids say I'm using it too much.
You do love to post.
But I don't want it to be, you know, the whole social media thing for me is always a funny little thing. But you can follow me on Instagram. And I think for a lot of the stuff that I do, pictures work better. You know what I mean? With a little comment. So we, for New Year's, we had a nice group. Actually, we had a wedding shower yesterday. So you know my dear friend Mike Jakubowski, Mike and Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Well, their daughter, Ellie, who's like my niece, she is my niece, she's getting married, which is a complete slap in our face that makes us feel really old that she's getting married. She has a lovely fiance named Chris, who's in medical school, so she's going to marry a future doctor, which is great. And anyway, my wife makes this amazing pulled pork recipe that we did on the grill outside in the freezing cold. And then I have made these grilled potatoes that I make on the grill as well. And I typically use Yukon Gold potatoes. I slice up some onion and some garlic.
Is this the one with the brown sugar?
Uh-huh, with the brown sugar.
Amazing.
Right? They're really good, right?
They're so good.
They just got better. I use Jackie's Mom's Seasoning.
I forgot where we were going with this story.
I know. Stay with me. Come on. It's the new year.
All circles back.
I haven't changed.
New
Lou. It's still me. My goal in 2016 is to be nicer to people. I used Jackie's Mom's Seasoning on the potatoes. Do you know how many potatoes were left
Yum.
When we were done last night? Zero.
So you add that to the recipe or do you like substitute something?
I substituted the whole thing. So the only thing that I didn't do, so normally what I do with my potatoes is it's the olive oil and the onions and the garlic, the brown sugar, which caramelizes the potato when you do it on the grill, you know, because it's in a big pan. But normally I'll use some Italian seasoning, some salt and pepper, very basic. I use Jackie's Mom's Seasoning, flavors as colorful as her personality. I'm not ready to talk about this fully yet because I want you to be able to buy it. It doesn't have great distribution just yet, but we're getting it there. And it's delicious.
Now that everyone's mouths are watering.
Yeah, what's the, do you know the website? I'm looking at I have the bottle here because I was so excited. But there's no website. It's got to, I know they have a website. Oh, here it is. DamnThat'sDelish.com.
Oh, yeah. DamnThat'sDelish.com. You're right.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So it's delicious. And I've been experimenting with different stuff, just trying it all out. So it's great. So Happy New Year. There you go. Recipe tips. You know, it's either me or Giada De Laurentiis where you get all your cooking tips. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's go back to the phone lines now. Donna is on the line in Oak Lawn. Donna, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. Merry New Year to you. I've got
Happy New Year to you as well.
Thank you. I don't know if you can even answer my question or if you're good at prognosticating, but I've got a problem. When we had our sleet storm a couple of days ago and the 60-mile-an-hour winds, I live in a condo on the third floor, and our roof started leaking, and it started dripping onto my bed. So I have a very squishy, wet bed, and I don't know if I should toss it out or if it will dry out or if it will get moldy. And it's a relatively new mattress, and I don't know if I should replace it or if I could keep my fingers crossed. Right now I'm sleeping upright or on my sofa, and I'd really like to know. I've got somebody coming out next week to fix the roof, but in the meantime, I don't know what to do about the bed.
Okay, so this leak that you had, how much water were you home? What I mean, tell me the amount of water that got on the bed. Was it soaked?
Yeah, the mattress was soaked. There's about a three and a half foot round circle. It came in through my air vent on the ceiling. So that the ceiling's fine. I don't have to repaint that. It's just the mattress that's all gooked up.
Yeah. And so all the bedding got wet.
The bedding got wet. The down comforter got wet.
But did that take most of the only reason I'm saying all this is that, if it's a roof area, we're coming through a bunch of building materials. That water is somewhat contaminated as it comes through, you know, because of the building materials that it's coming through as it's picking that up. And then it goes into the comforter. Those, all that stuff can be washed, which is fine. But the mattress itself, I hate to tell you, oh, just vacuum it up and you'll be fine, because I don't want there to be a lingering health issue. And my guess is there won't. Yeah, my guess is there won't be, but from a pragmatic standpoint, I think that if it were my mattress and it leaked through the ceiling and it got really wet, like you're speaking of, I would probably replace the mattress.
Okie dokie, not what I wanted to hear, but
I
wanted to hear something that was going to be honest with me. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I would do. Okay. All right, good luck. I appreciate you calling this morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number, the Mr. Fix-It Show. Our new Lutu is coming up. Actually, what we're going to do is we're going to give you a kind of our top five new Lutus. We did 52 last year, and Lindsay and I went back and forth talking about, we were going to do top 10, but I'm like, there's a lot of good stuff, but we narrowed it down to five, and so we'll give you those top five and the information on how you can find it as well. And then here is something that I forgot to mention. You know our good friend Lyle Dean, the skipper? And you know how for years we've talked about the yacht Lyle Dean, the boat that Lyle has that, you can land the helicopter on, and, it's a giant boat. It's for sale. He's selling his boat. The yacht Lyle Dean, it's unbelievable. Anybody who knows how much he loves that boat is as surprised as me. But this is your community calendar now, since this is good, Lindsay, since we don't have lots of commercials on New Year's Day. This is a good way to get people motivated. If you've ever wanted to own a pristine 50-foot Sea Ray Sundancer Cruiser Express that has had the best of care, let me tell you how good of care it is. I do not drink white wine unless I'm on the yacht Lyle Dean, because he doesn't allow red wine, which I think is a little forward of him, but there's not a red wine stain on that boat at all. It's has everything, twin diesels, full electronics, inflatable tender. I don't even know what that is, and a long list of options. All kinds of pictures and details can be emailed, but if you're interested in learning more about the yacht Lyle Dean, you got to call Jack Karen at Skipper Buds. He can give you all the information you want. 815-342-5590. That's 815-342-5590. And you can ask him if Lyle's lost his mind. It's the opportunity that you've never thought would be possible to own the real yacht Lyle Dean. Again, that's at Skipper Buds, 815-342-5590. Hey, Lindsay, you know what we need to do? We need to get a picture of the yacht Lyle Dean.
Yeah.
And post it. So will you email Lyle and have him
maybe you can
send
Instagram
you a picture?
It.
We could Instagram it. Right. Maybe he'll find that picture from that one summer when I was water skiing behind the yacht Lyle Dean.
Oh, really?
That's kidding. No, I was not. No, the thing's so big, the wake would be like a, you know, it would be like a tidal wave. There's no way you could do it. You'd have to be the most experts of skiers. So anyway, I'll send you this stuff so you can put that up as well. All right.
Sounds
what do you want me to do? You want me to take a break? You want to do your Noodaloo 2?
Quick break.
Quick break. And when we come back, we'll give you our Noodaloo 2, our top five Noodaloo 2s from 2015. It's 7:47 in the morning. Don't go away.
You're tuned in to the Mr. Fix-It Show with Lou Manfredini, home improvement expert and king of ideas.
I just came up with a fabulous idea.
So here's another idea I had.
You're going to get a lot more than home improvement advice on this show, whether you ask for it or not.
And then, now this is a little bit of a stretch. If he gets a hit, everybody yells together, that's a spicy meatball.
Wouldn't you like to get inside that brain for just a second? You and me both.
So that's my idea for today. I have more, but that's just the one I have right
I know
now.
You do.
And now back to your host, home improvement and bright idea extraordinaire, Lou, 720 WGN.
7:51 in the morning. Time now for our Noodaloo 2, sponsored by the all-new Chevy Trax compact SUV. And we have done a lot of Noodaloo 2s. And so Lindsay and I went back and forth, and I go, what were some of our favorite ones? Because people ask, you once featured this, you once featured that. And so we put together a quick little, Lindsay put together our top five Noodaloo 2s from 2015. Take a listen.
2015, smiles, frowns, ups, downs, lots of laughs, sometimes blues, and 52 Noodaloo 2s. And now a rewind on five of our faves, starting with liquid snow shovel. This stuff would have come in handy after the snow we just had this week. It's a liquid calcium chloride spray that's an eco-friendly, clean, clear, odorless ice melt. It's biodegradable, non-hazardous, non-staining, and doesn't produce a white residue. Spray it on your driveway or sidewalk before the winter storm hits to make your life easier after the winter storm hits. Next, the hassle-free soap dispenser called the Soaptainer. Soaptainer is a 2-inch narrow tilt-out container that fits under your sink and connects without tools to your existing built-in soap dispenser. It holds over a gallon of your favorite soap so you can save money by buying that soap in bulk and going for 6 months to even a year before refilling it. Moving on down the line is the Ox Coffee Box. We live in a world with rugged smartphones, laptops, so why don't we also have ultra-tough coffee makers? Built for the toughest job site or weekend adventure, the Coffee Box will give you a single serving of fresh hot coffee with a K-cup for people who like to get their hands dirty. And don't forget the Snap Power Charger, the easy-to-install outlet cover plate that transforms your outlet into a convenient USB charger. It's great for outlets next to the bed or even the kitchen, wherever you like to charge your smart devices. It requires no wires, no batteries, and leaves all of your outlets free for use. And lastly, the smart cord, which we talked a lot about over the holidays to help keep you from plugging in too many holiday lights to one outlet. Smart cord safety cord monitors and senses excessive heat in outlets and plugs created by overloading, poor connections, and improper use. There you have it, our top five Noodaloo 2s of 2015. I'm going to put a list of all the Noodaloo 2s and their links up at WGNradio.com, also on Lou's Facebook page. And then if you want to vote, you can go on over to VibeScore and tell us what you think. Download the free app on your iPhone and vibe about it. So long, 2015. Hello, New Year. That's this week's Noodaloo 2.
Those were some good ones. Those were really some good ones.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah. I thought the coffee box was one of the kind of the coolest kind of forward thinking about like taking care of people working on job sites and, you know, want a fresh cup of coffee type of thing. It wasn't, it's not inexpensive, you know. There's really a nice wide range of pricing on some of those things.
Yeah, that was like $250, so, I think. But you could throw it down
it
the street.
Right. Remember the guy that won it? I threw it at him?
Yeah, I do. He's still in a cast.
Right, and he's well, it is heavy. Right, that was fun. We had a good 2015. We went on a lot of live broadcasts.
A lot.
Yeah.
I would say would you hit 40%. Would you say 40? 35.
Wow. 35. Well, I was going to say at least 20 remotes.
Yeah. Well,
I bet it was that works.
Yeah.
Look at how good you are with the math. That ASU.
I know.
I don't know what they're doing. They're running the ads on the radio, and you're not doing the voiceover. That makes no sense.
That's silly.
Right.
That's silly.
And actually, the woman sort of sounds like you. Don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
No?
I don't know.
Just quick. I mean, it was like, oh my gosh, they should. I mean, if somebody was paying attention, like, wow, we have somebody that works here that went to ASU. Are you the only person that went to ASU that works at WGN Radio?
I think so. Else has told me that. I don't know. ASU. I could do that in the ads. What do you think?
You could. Right. You were never a cheerleader, though, right?
I was at the games.
Oh, okay, but not like officially.
No.
No,
I would have been a good one.
I'm sure. Okay. All that information, we're going to get posted up on our Facebook page as well as WGNradio.com. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. 7:56 in the morning. Hey, there's a Blackhawks giveaway. You've got some information about the Blackhawks giveaway. Can you read that one?
I do. Hey, Chicago Blackhawk fans, come with WGN Radio and spend a hockey-filled three-day weekend away in Minneapolis this February 20th through the 22nd. You will travel by chartered coach north to the Twin Cities to see the outdoor alumni game at TFC Bank Stadium on the University of Minnesota campus. Then on Sunday, it's the Chicago Blackhawks facing Central Division rival Minnesota Wild at the 2016 Coors Light NHL Stadium Series outdoor game. Brr. Your tour includes accommodations at the Hampton Inn, Minneapolis downtown, steps from restaurants and nightlife, two breakfasts and game tickets. Call Sunrise Tours at 800-881-8804 to book your tour or find pricing and booking information at WGNradio.com/events.
I love that idea.
Fun,
so
right?
This is a thing where you can do like a package and you go do the whole thing and go to the game. That's fun.
Sounds like a good weekend.
Yeah. We're trying to make something like that happen with our Mr. Fix-It show.
I know. How about what's going on with that?
I don't know. But I think I came up with the good idea of going to the American Club.
I think I love that idea.
Right. So go to the is it the American Club or America's Club?
American.
American.
Mm-hmm.
Just singular.
In Kohler, Wisconsin.
Right. So here's the idea. We put together a package. Why don't you call these people that are doing
Sunrise
going
Tours.
Up to Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we get in the van. We get in a van. Everybody in the van. We get in a coach. We get in a coach bus. Listen to how this sounds. We go in like February when it's cold and you want to do something. On a Friday, we drive up. We take a Kohler factory tour. Right?
Mm-hmm.
On Friday. And then we have dinner at the American Club, and then in the morning we do our show from the factory. Right?
Ooh, that's cool.
Uh-huh. The show, we have a little breakfast at the factory, we meet some of the workers, we talk about all the stuff that was done, you know, that whole town and everything. Kohler's all happy about it. We tell people how they should buy all this great products from Kohler. Then we hop in the bus and we drive home.
Mm-hmm. Is there a fish fry in there somewhere?
Ooh. Well, we would have to. I'm sure at one of their restaurants. We could do a fish fry. Wait, did I say dinner? No, breakfast at the factory. Not dinner at the factory. Dinner at the restaurants. They have like several restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
They must have a fish fry. We go for a fish fry. Absolutely. That's what we have to do.
At a supper club.
at us. Well, no, it has to be because Kohler has their own restaurants.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right, so we got to integrate it all. But I like that idea.
Fun.
Right?
Yeah, that sounds like a ball.
All right.
I'm in.
Get on that, will you, please?
I'm in.
Can you make that happen for 2016?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. We got a lot more coming up. 312-981-7200 is our phone number.
And now back to Lou.
You used to call me on my...
And the Mr. Fix-It Show.
You used to.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Yeah.
Yep.
You used to call me on my cell phone. Day night when you need my...
Oh, I like the Mr. Fix-It groove in 2016, right? I have no idea who this is singing.
Come on.
Who is it?
Drake. Your kids would know this for sure.
Well, my kids would, but my kids don't listen.
No, but right now they would be like,
look at my dad rocking out to Drake. 8:07 in the morning, the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by ChevyDrivesChicago.com. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Happy New Year, everybody. Thank you. Thank you so much for... joining us this morning. Give me that name one more time, please. All right, let's go back to the phone lines at 312-981-7200. This is Dave in beautiful Burbank, Illinois. David, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. I have a question.
Sorry.
I have a two-story house. My roof is 11 years old only, and I looks like I developed a leak near my skylight in the second floor bathroom. I had Lindholm come out to look at it. I know they're a sponsor of yours. And he was wearing your hat, by the way.
Oh, that's the trick that they use. That's how they suck you in.
Yeah. Well, he went up and looked at it. He told me not to let anybody fool me. I don't need a new roof. He said it's only 11 years old. It looks great. He said the flashing looks great around the soil stack and around the skylight. He said the only thing he could figure out is maybe it was coming through. It shifted from the glass. But it seems to me that the leak is on the outside of the shaft, you know, where it goes up to the ceiling.
Right.
But that's the only place he could think that the leak could be coming from would be, the caulk around the window glass.
Because he said the flashing around the skylight looked pretty good?
Yeah, he said the flashing looked good on the skylight, flashing looked good on the soil stack, and the roof was only 11 years old. But my ceiling has split right next to the skylight, and it was dripping through there.
And this continues to happen?
During rain, yes. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem to be happening every time it rains. It just seems to be, I don't know where it's coming from.
Right. So, it's nice to hear that, you know, they're not just trying to sell you a new roof that you don't need.
Exactly.
Skylights, any protrusions in the roof, you know, and it's the truth is 90% of the time when a roof is leaking, it's some kind of flashing failure. Now, the roof's 11 years old. How old is that skylight?
Same. We had it put in at the same time.
Okay. So, unfortunately, the only way that you're going to really test this thing out and figure out how it's leaking is that you have to go make it leak.
Mm-hmm.
Typically on a sunny day, you got to get up there with a bucket or a hose, mm-hmm, and kind of force the water in going the other way, you know, up from the flashing, mm-hmm, or, you know, if it's happening when the wind is blowing or, the rain's coming from a certain direction.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, certainly you can do a little bit of caulking around the glass where it meets the frame. This window does not open, correct? It's a fixed window?
Right.
Okay. So it can be the most minor breach that can cause this leak, but you have, mm-hmm, to get up there and make it leak by dumping water on it.
Okay. Should I open the ceiling up to see, to see where it might be coming in from?
Well, I mean, if the ceiling is damaged already, really the best way to figure out where it's leaking is to do that. And, it's a question of if you're going to open up the hole to do it, then open up a hole. You know, in other words, don't just say, oh, I'm going to cut a little, 1 foot by 1 foot hole, cut a 2 foot by 2 foot hole so you can stick your head and shoulders up there and find out what's going on. And then you can hopefully track where the water comes. And keep in mind that where you see that leak, it could be leaking on the exact opposite side of the skylight and just traveling. But at least if you open up a big enough hole, you can throw a flashlight up there and find out what's going on and then make the correct repair.
Okay. All right. I'll have to wait till, I guess I have to wait till spring then.
Well, I mean, you could certainly cut the hole now. Right. And, you know, kind of see it, because if it's something as easy as, wow, it looks like it's coming from the glass, as the guy from Lindholm maybe suggested, you know, it's something that you may be able to fix temporarily until you can get up on that roof.
Do you what do you recommend? What kind of caulk, like a silicone?
Well, if it's this time of year, you need something that can be used in really in colder weather. And so silicone needs to be a little bit warmer. There's some exterior caulks that can be used in colder temps, but typically not. It's like down to 35 degrees. So we'd need a couple of warmer days to get up there and do it. So one of them is OSI makes an exterior caulk that can be used in cold temperatures. And then NPC Solar Seal also makes it, and they make a clear that you can use up there as well. But you need a couple days where we get in, you know, above 35 degrees.
All right, Lou. I appreciate it.
Happy New Year. Appreciate you calling this morning.
Thank you.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. Bill called that line, and he's in New Lenox. Bill, you're on WGN. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Lou. I got a problem with the vent tube. I think it's the collar around the vent tube that's leaking when I get a heavy rain. And I've used that liquid spray around it. It doesn't seem to help any.
We're talking about a plumbing stack?
Yes, you know, the vent tube that comes out of a bathroom. And it's got a collar around it that the shingles cover, I think.
Is it a plastic venting or is it cast iron?
It's plastic.
And you have like a rubber boot that goes around it?
Correct.
Okay, and you sprayed like Leak Tight or Leak Seal around it?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and can you see, is there an attic space where you're seeing that this is leaking, or you're seeing it in the finished part of the house?
It's in the attic. You can see the water dripping from the top where the vent tube goes out the roof, and then it drops down. I got a vent fan in there. It drops down on the fan, and the water's dripping through the fan.
Okay. So, I'm just wondering if this is a temperature, if this is condensation dripping, or if it's, is it, this is happening when it's raining.
Right. I can actually see the water dripping when it's raining. I've gone up there with a flashlight when it's raining real hard, and I can see the water drip.
All right. Is this, a roof you can walk on, or you have access to this area, or how'd you get up there?
I put a ladder up and got up on the roof and went to the vent tube itself.
Okay. Well, I don't want you doing this with a, you know, a frozen roof, but I want you to buy a gallon jug of fibrated roof tar.
Okay.
And get a pair of gloves you don't care about and a couple of one inch and a half wide plastic putty knives, and then get up on that roof once it's safe and use the fibrated roof tar. It's this heavy, thick molasses, thicker than molasses roof tar that has little fibers in it. You're going to paint a little layer around where that collar meets the plastic, and you want to try and, if you can, because you don't want it to look terrible, take a little blue painter's tape, and just above the boot, where the boot meets the plastic, say about an inch above, wrap a little band of blue tape around the pipe.
Okay.
Then use the fibrated tar around the tape and work it down onto the black portion of the boot and make sure that you pitch it and make it nice and smooth to seal all that up. And try not to get it all over the shingles. And then peel the tape away. And it shouldn't leak anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's a big
problem. I don't want you. Go ahead.
It's a big problem to replace that boot or that collar entirely.
Well, it's not a big problem, but you gotta take up a bunch of the shingles around that piece of flashing. I mean, in a perfect world, that's what you should do. So
Right. Maybe
this is a fix to get you to the spring.
Okay.
And then in the spring, you take up some of those shingles. How old is the roof?
95 it was put on.
Okay. So, and what color is it?
Brown.
Okay. So, I mean, you could probably buy is this something you could do yourself or you'd need someone to do?
I'd need someone to do it, but I have some shingles left over.
Okay. Well, if you did that, then I would call a roofer to come out and do a repair in the spring. I mean, they can do it now, too. I mean, I'll tell you this. If you were going to have a roofer come out and do this now, you probably have a better chance because they're not as busy.
Yeah, right.
I'm serious.
Well, I am too, but I think I will wait till spring.
Yeah, but this will work, but I don't want you up on that roof when it's slick like this.
Okay.
Capiche?
Capiche, Lou. Thank you, sir.
All right. Take care. I appreciate you calling this morning. It's 8:18 in the morning. You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show. Happy New Year. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
Everybody get up.
Wake up. Time to tune in to that lovable Lou on the Mr. Fix-It Show right here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hey, and Bears fans, don't forget to join the Tribune Sports Plus for a sports-only membership that includes award-winning coverage, great perks, and more at chicagotribune.com/sportsplus. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Back to the phone lines now. Here we've got Bob and Joliet. Bob, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Hope you can fix this, Lou, but...
I'll try.
I got radon gas. Is there an easy fix to get rid of that radon gas without, you know, punching a hole in the wall and going up to the roof or something like that?
Well, how do we know we have this radon gas?
Well, I had a kit down there, and we had to keep it down there for a while, and it's right next to the sump pump where I had this test kit. And
Right. We
got it back, and they say 4 is... which should be
parts per million.
Yeah, so it came back and it says 13. So I haven't contacted anybody but I hear that you have to put a fan in and you know, get a vent to the outside and go through the roof.
I wouldn't mess with this, especially with that reading. Here's what I'll tell you. Before you do anything, I do one more test.
Okay.
And so tell me about the house. What is it? Is it a frame? Is it a brick? Is it, how old is it?
Well, it's 20 years old and it's brick.
Okay. And the basement is finished or unfinished?
It's finished. Well,
okay.
Most of it's finished. Where I took the test, it was unfinished.
Okay. I want you to do one more test, but I want you to do the test where the finished part of the basement is.
Okay.
Okay? And see what kind of readings you get there.
Okay.
Now, 13 is high, really high. But you also, you want to do a couple of tests. It's worth the investment to determine whether or not, you know, something went haywire in the initial test or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can... know for sure that all of a sudden, if in the finished part, you're like, wow, in my finished part, I get a 7 or I get an 8, it's still high.
Yeah.
Now, radon gas, do you have a window down there?
Yes.
Okay. If you opened up a window right now, you'd be cold, but you would reduce the radon in that basement and the rest of your home just by getting airflow and you know, getting fresh air circulating through there. The whole idea with the radon mitigation is they do come out, put in this pipe that goes into the basement, runs all the way up the side of the roof, side of the house and up and over, and it will reduce it tremendously. When you have a reading like that, you know, someday you're going to go sell that house, and that radon test is going to happen. A, you don't want that high level for you and your family and people that live in that house. But secondly, it's when you go to sell the house, it's going to be a huge red flag. So you have to do this mitigation system if that kit comes back. You know, if you get another high reading above that 4, you have to do it.
Okay. Well, what do you think the cost of, you know, of this would to install something with a fan and a, you know, vent pipe and all that?
$2,500.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll just open a window.
You know, I mean, it could... Well, but I only say that to you because I'm just saying, like, in temporary fix. I mean, you know, if you were to put in an exhaust fan in that area where the sump pump is, and have it set up with a humidistat or even just a switch, where it's just constantly pulling that air out, that would do the same thing. But you need a registered radon mitigation company to do this, so that you can prove to yourself, hey, I'm controlling this radon, and B, when you go to sell the house someday, it's the same. You know, you could say, look, I put this in, we've lowered the thing, and you need that peace of mind.
Yeah. All right. Well, maybe I'll get a company out here and give me an estimate or look at it.
Bob, I definitely would do it. I would not mess around with that. And I know that, you know, nobody wants to spend the $2,500, but it's definitely worth it.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
All right, sir. I appreciate you calling. Happy New Year.
Yeah.
8:28 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Frank is in Chicago. Frank, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Happy New Year.
You too, sir. How can I help you?
Lou, I've had this ongoing issue since I bought this two-story home about 15 years ago with squirrels. First, they were opening up or eating through the fascia board in the front of the house and getting in there and nesting during the winter months. And I filled that hole with some aluminum, basically fascia, and then they proceeded to make another hole next door to that. And every time I would fill it, they would just keep going until I covered the whole front of the house with aluminum. Now they're coming around the side of the building, and they're actually eating into the fascia board along the dormitory, fascia board where it meets the roof there. And I'm not quite sure what to do with these guys. I bought traps. I'm trapping them now. But is there a permanent solution to keep them away? I know that they've got ultrasonic devices that, you know, make some kind of noise that only they can hear to scare them away. But, you know, one of my neighbors told me that, well, once they've established your house as a nesting area, they always come back. I don't know if there's something with the magnetic field or something. But you got any ideas, Lou?
Are you like, are you somebody that loves eating a lot of nuts? You got a lot of nuts in the house, or what do you got in there?
No, just my wife.
It's not, you're not like a guy that, you know, you're always got a bag of mixed nuts in your hands, and all they want to do is get in there and share it with you.
Well, you know, you bring that up. I do have a tree in the backyard, which I'm thinking about tearing down. I think that's how they're getting up on the roof. But my neighbor does have a feeder for the birds. Could she inadvertently be attracting them?
Sure. I mean, you know, if it's a feeder and they're coming over there to do that. But what's interesting is there is – rodents in particular are creatures of habit. And so we have to change their habit. And the fact is they, you know, whatever, they're coming to your house trying to get into the house and chewing it up. You got to figure out a way to get rid of them. Now, this is less of a problem in the winter, right, because they're hibernating?
Well, right about now is when they come in and they start making their holes. In the summertime, I don't see anything. They're all running around and living in the trees, I imagine.
Right.
It seems like in the fall all the way till about early spring, they're constantly getting out. And I know last year there was like a little family that was up in there. So I had to wait till they were all gone before I could batch it up. But, you know, now they've eaten about 5 more holes along the fascia line. And I'm afraid that if I put aluminum around the whole house, they'll just eat through the roof itself to get in.
Right.
So
okay.
I need to
so
break that habit.
Okay, a couple things. Right now, in the areas where you see them eating, there's a product called Critter Ritter, which is a essentially it's a cayenne pepper spray, but it's clear. And in the areas even now where you see that they're trying to make their way to eat in there, I want you to spray down that area and put a nice coating. So when they go take a bite or try to take a bite, they are not going to like this flavor at all.
Mm.
And keep an eye on it. You have a single-story house or two-story?
It's two-story, but I can hang out of the window to get up into that area.
Oh, that seems safe. Well, don't do that. But if you can hang out there and do whatever, spray it and get a nice coating on there. And then each day, if you can, take a look and see if they're trying to make a hole or chew in there, and then spray it again. Because if they get around it a little bit, you want to make sure that this has got a nice coating on there so that they get a lousy taste in their mouth. And after they do it a couple times, they're going to be like, I don't want any part of this. It tastes terrible. And that will be a way to make sure that they don't come back. And then in the spring, if it's a problem, although you says it's not, there's this product called Spray Away, which is a motion sensing sprinkler. But if you can set that up and point it to the area where they are coming at you, it'll spray them with water. And I promise you, within a couple of days, they'll be gone.
Very good. I'll give it a try, Lou. Thank you very much.
Happy New Year. I appreciate you calling this morning.
My brother's going to kill us.
Relax. All right? My old man is a television repairman. Got the ultimate set of tools. I can fix it.
There you go, Spicoli. Hi, everybody. The Mr. Fix-It Show. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. 8:37 in the morning. When you look out at your house now, you know, it's the new year. Everybody's, I read somewhere, I think I even reposted this, you know, the big thing, you know, with everyone is, oh my gosh, I'm going to get in great shape in 2016, right? And everybody's so worried about what they eat between Christmas and New Year. You know, they're like, oh my gosh, there's all these cookies and I ate all this stuff. When really what we should be worried about is what we eat between New Year and Christmas. Right? So.
Yes.
Anyway, little chi there for you to think about. But Lindsay, you and your husband, your handsome husband and your beautiful family just moved into a new house and you did a bunch of work.
Yeah.
Right?
We did.
Painted, refinished the floors, the whole nine yards. And who helped you come up with all the design stuff?
Nobody.
Nobody.
And would you...
No, well, I mean, I'm just saying that, and is it something that you think that you're good at, or,
no.
I mean, you know your style, or do you want help, or what?
No, and that is what, no, I need help, because I'm so insecure, is that the right word? I just don't have any confidence in my design abilities. I don't know what's right, and what's supposed to go where, and the feng shui, but, well, not that I really believe in that stuff, but, you know, I'm not good with that stuff, and I need all the help that I can get. And that's why when we came across this, what we're going to talk about right now, this website, I thought, at first I didn't really get it, and then I thought, like you say,
Right.
Kind of cool.
Are the mirrors going to come down in 2016?
It's on our list. Our list isn't so long. As I know, every homeowner says the same thing, but it's like never ending.
Right.
Yes, there are mirrors on one of the walls that are kind of 70s looking, but they're not horrible. We can live with them.
It does make the room bigger, but the room that they're in, we've been to the house, it's a nice big room.
Yeah. They actually just, that's on the low end of the list.
All right, let's talk a little bit about this website. This is something that you found. Give us a little insight into it.
Yes, it's called Havenly.com is the website. And what it does is you can, for a certain amount of money, they've got a lower end and then a higher end. You take a bunch of pictures of a room in your house that you want a refresher for or like a redesign. send it into this website. Choose a designer that you want to work with. You actually take a quiz online that kind of tells you what kind of design style you have. And then these designers will, depending on what level of, you know, what package you buy, they'll send you either ideas and things, items that you can buy for the room or suggestions, or they'll actually send you a layout, a new layout of your room to give you an idea of what their ideas would be.
Well, what was interesting is when we were talking about this and you sent me the information, the whole room refresh option is just $79.
Right. And you send them the pictures, and then that includes, let's see, it includes two custom concept boards, personalized product suggestions, like a list of items that you could use to spruce up the place.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, but it does. That one does not include furniture placement suggestions, but this,
right.
But the next package up does, which I think is cool.
And that's the $199.
That's $199 per room. Yes.
Right. So if you're someone that really doesn't have a clue, or even if you have a clue, but you're looking for a second opinion, I mean, I think that, you know, certainly working with designers in general, when you have them come to your house or, you know, you actually, you know, employ them, the whole idea is that, you know, they're going to spend the time, they're going to figure out what do you like, what don't you like, you know, what are you trying to do here? And then I'm always amazed when you have those certain people that have the eye, what they can create.
Me too. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Like, how do you see what I don't see? It's amazing to me, and I need them in my life.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
these people. So what room I'm thinking of is downstairs in our lower level. It's kind of an odd shaped basement. Like the fireplace is on one side, which is what you would think would kind of be the center. You'd want the furniture to be facing the fireplace, but yet the TV
right.
jack is on the other side. So the fireplace is actually behind us unless we – it's just one big room, and we want to kind of divide it up a little bit. So these people
right.
would be wonderful to work with, I would think.
How long is – do you know how long this company's been around?
It's fairly new. I don't know the exact how long, but it's
founding.
Fairly new. Yes.
Yeah. So it's a neat idea. I mean, I think that, you know, if you're looking to kind of change the look, you want to try and get a refresh, or you want some ideas, if you're looking to be able to do this on your own schedule, I mean, I think that's one of the nice things, too, is you take a few pictures, you load it up on the website, they get back to you. Then if you want to take it to the next level, even if you, you know, end up employing a designer saying, okay, well, this works, but I need more than this. I think from an initial investment to get some ideas, even if you went with the $199 option, if you have one room you really want to kind of spruce up a little bit, you might be able to do things yourself and even save some money by, you know, heading out to a TJ Maxx or a Home Goods or something like that to find accessories that maybe they suggest, and you find something that that kind of complements it. We did a House Smarts shoot in New Jersey at the Show House. And it was a house that was for sale for $13 million, okay? It was this giant house. And the whole idea was they got these designers to come in, and they designed and furnished each one of the rooms of this home that was for sale. And so people paid $35, and it was a charity angle to it. I believe it was benefiting a children's hospital in New Jersey. And they would walk through the house and take a look at all these great designs. And you're looking at these, you know, the one kitchen designer that evidently is quite well known in the New Jersey area did the kitchen, and the kitchen was beautiful. But all the accessories, as I walked around, you know, you look at the vases and the, you know, whatever, the knickknacks, they're all from like Home Goods and TJ Maxx, right? So you got everybody thinks these designers are going out and buying all this stuff at these fancy stores, but those types of accessories are available to you for little pieces, but you need someone to know that it all works,
right?
Right? That it all, mm-hmm. oh, this, put this here, put this there. And then you flip over the thing and you look at that and it's, you know, some $5.99 item from Home
That's
Goods.
Funny. That's my
right?
problem. Like, you find all this great stuff. I find, and that's what I go out to TJ Maxx or Home Goods, and I love this vase, and I love this lamp. But then I get it home, and it's like, wait a minute. Come on, lens. This doesn't match. Like,
this does what? Not go with the mirror.
It's a great mirror, but it's, you know, or whatever. It just doesn't work. So I need help.
Right.
This is great.
Yeah. All right. So you're going to put all a little link to this on our website and the Facebook page?
I am. And we actually – did you get my text?
I can look.
We actually have one room refresher to give away today to a lucky caller.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They're giving away one room design, the actual the bigger package, the $199 room design.
Wow.
So so I don't know if you want whatever you want to do, the seventh caller or the you pick it.
Yeah, let's do if this is something you want to do. I mean, but I want you to not just because I want to win something, but if you really want to refresh a room and do this, let's take the seventh caller at 312-591-7000. 312-591-7000. One person can win a $199 value room refresh. That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
That's great. So seventh caller to the hotline.
Find out more at havenly.com. It's H-A-V-E-N, havenly.com.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini on the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I met this girl. 8:49 in the morning, the Mr. Fix-It Show. Hi, everybody. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Reba is in Evanston. Reba, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou, and Happy New Year.
You too. How can I help you?
Yes. During the summer, they were replacing gas meters and stuff, and after they were done, a couple of days after, came home and there was like a sinkhole, like, you know, in the back, in the little space in the back. And called them, they came back, they filled it in. A couple of days, I looked out the window and it's coming in again. And I'm not quite sure what's going on, you know, and what do you think?
They replaced the gas meters or they replaced the gas line?
The lines, the gas lines, yeah.
Okay. So they replace gas lines
in the whole area,
and meters.
Yeah.
Right. So
right.
It's probably just continuing settling. You live in Evanston?
That's right. Uh-huh.
Right. So your soil there, you got a lot of sand, and more than likely is the backfilling when they dug it all out, they need to continue to add more backfill to it. Now, one other question, you don't have any odor of gas.
No, not that we noticed, not that I've noticed.
When you walk outside, you know, if you walk near the area and you smell, you don't smell anything.
No.
Right. So I would continue to call the gas company and have them continue to bring fill until it levels off. It's more than likely when they did the trenching and the soil got moved out of the way because it's such a loose fill over in your area. That it's just it's just collapsing and needs to get filled back in.
That's exactly what it looks like. It's like, oh my God, here we go again, you know?
Right. So I would just have them come back. I mean, now at this point, you know, you're probably going to be, you're probably going to have to wait till spring for it to have them come back to bring some fill. But I would stay on them. I would not, you know, that
let up.
And the sooner you get them to come back. Uh-huh. In other words, get on there. In other words, I'd call them now and say, hey, you guys did these meters. We continue to have the soil, you know, collapsing, and we need more fill. Get on the list so when they send people around to do this, I'm sure you're not the only home that has this issue. That way, when they start doing it again, you're early on the list and they can get it all taken care of.
Oh, okay, because it looks like it's going to swallow up the grill or something that's out there. You know,
well, so yeah, you want to stay on top of it for sure.
Okay, great.
All right, Reba?
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you calling. Hey, you know, one thing I wanted to tell you for those listening, you know, what you've heard over the years, well, this past year in particular, we've had Lindeman Chimney as a sponsor. I had him come out and do an inspection on our chimney as well. Okay. It is the coolest thing you ever saw. Who's this on the phone?
It's still Reba.
Oh, hi, Reba. Oh, we're going to hang up on you, Reba. Thank you very much. Sorry, I thought we did that already. I apologize. Thank you so much for calling. The Lindeman folks have the neatest piece of technology. they take an iPhone and they put it in this housing that has these LED lights, and then they've got this flexible kind of fiberglassy pole in 5-foot sections, and they go up your chimney, and I watched the guy do the whole thing. They got a iPad that's set down on the hearth, and they can inspect and look at the whole chimney around, and as they go up, they can take pictures of it, so they can build sort of a, show you, okay, at this level, you've got a break here, you've got something going on, and it's so quick and easy that if you have not had your chimney inspected, and you know, you're like, oh yeah, I've heard about this, I got to do this, I just don't want to go through the hassle, you absolutely have to do this. Yeah, it is sort of like a colonoscopy for your chimney, but it's less painful, and it's much quicker. Not that a colonoscopy is painful, because you're kind of in that haze. Too much information? All right. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's talk to Jennifer in Hoffman Estates. Hi, Jennifer. You're on WGN.
Hello.
How can I help you?
I have another critter type question. Back in the summer, we had some raccoons in our attic, and we called the people, and they came and got rid of them. And then they ate a hole through the roof, so we had the whole roof redone because it was old. Now, the people that got the out say that we need to remove all of our insulation and replace it. And the house was built in the 50s, and we didn't have enough insulation anyway. But my husband wants to just add more insulation on top of what was there. And I don't know. What do you think?
Well, the raccoons, when you had them in there, did they contaminate all the insulation or just in one section?
I never actually got in there, so I don't know. I think it was probably mostly in just one area.
Yeah. I mean, if there was one area where they kind of camped out and did whatever, then that insulation I would probably have taken out. But after that, you know, you can add additional insulation over the top. I would use a loose fill, either a cellulose or a fiberglass insulation over the top, and make sure that they use, if you have overhangs with venting, that they use insulation baffles to keep the ventilation up in the attic space adequate, because it isn't just about adding the insulation, but you got to keep the airflow up in that attic space, because what you're trying to do is the space that's not insulated above the insulation, you want to get that to as close as the temperature of the outside air as possible so that you don't have an issue with ice damming. You know, as we're finally getting some cold weather here, you know, adding that insulation is the single best thing any homeowner can do to improve the overall comfort and energy efficiency of your home. It's like putting a really nice hat on your head. And so I would highly recommend that you add additional insulation. But if there's no contamination from the rodents, you know, on the entire attic space, you know, and that's a quick inspection, whomever you know, have come out and take a look at it. A great place to start is the NERI website, NERI.org, and you can find insulation contractors there. But that will be a way for you to kind of have them look at it. They'll make a suggestion as to what to put up there, and then you can make your decision there as far as which way to go. But again, I don't care if you use cellulose or fiberglass. I'm a loose fill guy. I think you get the best coverage there, and you'll make a world of difference in your home. I appreciate the phone call. It's 8:57 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after these.
Dr. Manfredini's office.
My disposal, is there a reason that it grows?
Please hold. Dr. Manfredini's.
Got a Brazilian cherry hardwood floor that I've got three dogs and they've tried to scratch through the clear coat finish.
One moment, please. Dr. Manfredini's office.
I've got a question about my basement floor.
He'll be right with you. The doctor is in. I mean, he's kind of like a doctor for your house. You're listening to Lou Manfredini on the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Give me the news. I got 9:06 in the morning. This is the Mr. Fix-It Show. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by PermaSeal Foundation Repair and by Ace Hardware. 312 981-7200 is our phone number. Another hour left. We'll do our Just Text Me segment after 9:30 this morning. So if you can't get through or you're, you know, driving in a car and you're the passenger, you can text us. Don't text me when you're... How about this? You resolve to not text and drive in 2016. What do you think about that? I think we all need to rededicate ourselves to that. I'm always amazed when I'm driving around or when you're at a stoplight. You know, what everybody does now, and I guess I do this too. When I stop at a stoplight, I'll look at my phone or check my phone because I got a text. But then you look down and the light changes and you're like, oh, I got to put this down. I think that's technically illegal too. I don't think you're supposed to do that even when you're stopped. I think if the car's in drive, you shouldn't do that. What I guess we have to start doing is, and all of us as family members, if you know someone's driving, just call them. Hopefully you have a hands-free in your car, and which technically is the law, I think, in Illinois. But just call. Don't text. Call. Hey, are you driving to the store? Yeah, uh-huh. Can you pick up some milk? Sure. 2% or skim? So there you go. Lindsay, do you want to share any news about 2016? Oh, she's not back yet. Okay. Let's talk to, I believe it's, is it Ramos in Naperville who's on the line? Hello, Ramos. You're on WGN.
Yes, we have two bathroom vents. They're high-capacity vents, and we noticed that the cover that goes up there, there's water leaking from them. We're dripping on us. And we also noticed that the drywall around there is also wet. And we just replumbed that 2 years ago for mold abatement, and so we had the vent going up through the roof. I'm using a 3 or 4 inch aluminum pipe going from that on an angle up through the roof, and we're just wondering how we can abate this problem of moisture.
Okay. What did we do wrong? So. All right, so the fan is in the ceiling, and the pipe coming off of the fan, is it connected to an elbow that then goes straight up or on an angle?
It's connected to an elbow, and it's on an angle. The vents are on one side of the house, and the vents are near the center of the house, of the roof. And so it goes up at an angle.
Okay, but it goes immediately up from the fan on an angle.
That is correct.
All right. So this is a trick that, I would think that people would know this trick by now, but I guess it's the older I get that I realize that this trick is old school and people don't do it anymore.
Okay.
If you're ever installing an exhaust fan in an attic space that is unheated and it's going to vent through the roof, you have to run the piping from the fan horizontally at least a couple of feet. Then you put the elbow and angle up and go to whatever roof jack or whatever it is you're going to pop out of the roof. Okay? That does two things. And I'm going to stop. Once you do all that, that aluminum pipe needs to be insulated. I'm assuming that pipe is not insulated.
That's correct.
Okay. So now it's freezing cold outside. You got the moisture in the shower or whatever the bathroom you're using. That aluminum pipe is hot, wet air that's going out of there, but it's banging up against all the cold air in the attic. That creates excessive moisture. And now the fact that you have that elbow immediately on the fan, you've got that vertical pipe it's just dripping back down. By having that pipe run for a couple of feet, it gives the water a place to go. And then by keeping the fan on, you can eventually dry that out. And so the trick, obviously, too, is when you get done taking a shower or a bath or whatever it may be, you want to make sure that you're running that fan for at least 15 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes after you're done showering, so that all the moisture can not only be evacuated out of the space that you're using, but you can also help to dry out a little bit of that moisture that's in that pipe.
So I would have to change the pipe as well, because if it collects moisture, the pipe's got joints in it, and I assume it would leak out into the ceiling.
Well, the pipe has joints in it, but the fact that it's not under pressure, those joints should seal pretty well, and you shouldn't have that issue. But the key is you need that little bit of horizontal piping for a place for the water to hold.
Well, I'm using an aluminum pipe, which has
Go ahead.
It has cracks. There has cracks in it. In other words, the joints are not sealed. They're saying I'm concerned about water leaking, condensation forming, and leaking out into the.
You have two choices. You have a couple of options. One is you have to insulate that pipe. That's going to help to probably eliminate the problem altogether. But you can also take aluminum tape and tape all those joints, and so that will essentially seal it, so that you don't have any issues of water. But you need to run that pipe, as I mentioned, horizontally, and then insulate that pipe so that it tempers it when it's really cold outside. Like right now, you know, the thing that everybody's going to be experiencing over the next few days is we haven't had super cold weather. People are going to get a lot of moisture. They're going to see it on the inside of their glass and wonder what's going on. Well, the house is, you know, you maybe had a lot of guests, you were entertaining, whatever. The house is full of moisture, and so that's the same holding true for that piping. You got to wrap it in insulation, and that will make a difference. I appreciate the phone call, Ramos. We're going to go and talk to Joanne, who is in Crystal Lake. Joanne, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. We have an asphalt driveway, and the cars have been leaking oil onto the driveway. What can we use to remove the oil?
Well, the easiest thing to do, and if you want to try and even try and do this a little bit now, is to get some powdered laundry detergent, like Tide. Oh. What do you use to clean your laundry?
Liquid. So get some Tide.
Right. Make a paste with hot water. And then sprinkle that over the oil and with a little warm water, and then take a scrub brush and scrub it and start to work it in. And from there, you're going to let it sit for a little bit, and then you're going to scrub it again, and then you're going to rinse it. Now, you're not going to be able to do this now, but once it warms up, it will help to get rid of some of those stains. The key with any staining, whether it's on asphalt or concrete, the quicker you get at it, the better chance you have of eliminating this problem.
Okay.
All right.
So, okay. I wish there was something we could just go out there and do it now, but we have to wait for the warm weather.
It's freezing right now.
I know.
Right now, if you put that on there, you'd have a nice big frozen piece of paste over the top of everything. So, I mean, even if we get to, you know, if we get a couple days in the 40s, you can go do that as well.
Okay, great. Okay. We'll give it a try. Thanks a lot, Lou.
Thanks so much. Take care. I appreciate you calling this morning. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We have Joe in Elk Grove Village who's on the line. Joe, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, Lou. Feliz Navidad.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you and Happy New Year and all that
Thank
good
you.
Stuff.
Thank you. I have a furnace electronic cleaner that it's making that noise, that ping sound, and it will not stop when the furnace is on.
You have an electronic air cleaner?
Correct. And it pings. It goes ping, ping, ping.
Okay. Two things. This electronic air cleaner, does it have a sensor light to tell you when to clean the filter?
No, it does not.
And when's the last time you cleaned the filter? About a day or so ago, and was it dinging before that?
It stopped. And now it's dinging again.
Okay. Is this unit hardwired or is it plugged in?
No, it's hardwired. It's part of the furnace.
Okay, so it isn't plugged into the side of the furnace.
No, it's part of the furnace. It's part of the return air.
No, I understand, but a lot of times the electronic air cleaners actually have a cord that comes out, and then there's a receptacle that's on the side of the furnace that it's plugged into. It's not like that.
No, it's hardwired.
Okay, so you've cleaned the filter. You've done that in the past, correct?
Yes.
And it's just, to the best of your knowledge, you've put it all back the way it was supposed to go.
I push the elements back in the way they're supposed to go.
Okay.
Go
ahead.
And in the beginning, there was no sound, but now I'm getting that ping, ping, ping when the furnace goes on.
Okay. And you're localizing that to the air cleaner?
Yes.
All right. So here's what I want you to try and do. When we get off the air, when we get off the call, rather, I want you to go down to the furnace. Is it in the basement or a mechanical room? Where is it?
It's in the basement.
Okay. On the side of your furnace is a cutoff switch for the whole unit, like a light switch, yes?
Yes, yes.
I want you to turn that off for a minute.
Okay.
How old is the furnace?
Oh, gee. Probably 20 years old.
Okay.
Oh, the furnace
Shut
itself
that.
Is... No, the furnace is about perhaps 12 years old, 12, 15.
Okay. So hit that switch. It's got a computer board in it, and it could be some sensor that needs to... And when's the last time you had this thing serviced?
Remember, you mean the furnace?
No, the furnace. What, do you get an annual check on it?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, you may be due for that, but I would turn that switch off for about a minute, see if the board resets, if it's some type of sensor that needs to be reset.
Uh-huh.
If that pinging continues to occur, you know, you're gonna have to have them come out and take a look at it. But you may be able to reset it just by flipping that switch off. Turn it off a minute or two. You know, just let it power down, and flip it back on again and see if that makes a difference. And then I definitely would have an HVAC contractor come out and take a look at it. One of the guys, you know, that we have sponsors, American Weathermakers, they're somebody that you could call to come out and take a look at that and, maybe inspect it, make sure it's running properly. And if that pinging is, that filter needs to be replaced or whatever, at least you'll have the right course of action on how to get it all fixed. You don't want that thing failing now that we're getting into the really cold weather. Appreciate the phone call. It's 9:19 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
Now back to Lou on the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. Don't forget our text line is 312-981-7200. We'll be doing Just Text Me after 9:30 this morning. But right now we have Al on the line in Urbana. Al, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Bon Natale.
Merry Christmas, sir. How can I help you?
Well, you had an earlier call on a skylight that was leaking, and he did say that it was leaking even when it wasn't raining. And my guess is that it might be condensation because the hot air is rising, hitting that cold surface of glass, and moisture is forming and then leaking at the lower level.
Yeah, no, the condensation thing is absolutely a great thought. But I did specifically ask him. He said it was only leaking when it was raining. When it was raining.
I thought he said it was leaking even when it wasn't raining.
No, and that's why, you know, no, that's fine. But, you know, and you bring up a really good point because right now that we're getting this really cold weather, that whole condensation issue is going to come into play because we just haven't had the consistent cold weather, and over the next week or so, if this weather continues like this, people are going to see a lot more condensation on glass and in skylights because our homes are full of a lot of moisture, really coming off of a lot of people entertaining and stuff. And so you got to remember that the average person or the average family of four creates about 4 gallons of moisture a day just living in the house, you know, taking a shower and flushing the toilet and all that good stuff. And so, that now all of a sudden you have guests coming over the house and now the temperature drops like crazy. It's a big issue for moisture. So, yeah, if you have a skylight, you may notice that issue as well. But I did specifically ask that gentleman. He said it was when it was raining that was an issue. But thank you for that heads up. I appreciate it. Let's talk to Tess in Arlington Heights. Hi, Tess. You're on WGN.
Oh, good morning, Lou. How are you? I have a three-bedroom condominium on the third floor, and we have units in the wall, air conditioning units. And I've been using the plastic window kits, you know, with the tape and the hair dryer and everything. But now I live alone, and it's kind of hard for me to put that all on. Is there some kind of a cover that I could get to put on that air conditioner in the winter?
Well, they do make covers that are universal. Yeah, for inside. The thing is that they're not, the fit and finish isn't great because they're, you know, you got to get specific to the size. Are you a, when's the last time you sewed anything?
Well, I did some sewing for Christmas.
Why is that so
funny? I have a sewing machine.
Okay, well, if you were to go to, say, Joann Fabrics, and buy a like a lightweight vinyl material, okay? You need something
vinyl?
With a coating.
Okay.
Vinyl material, and it'll have a cloth back. And if you measured around the perimeter of this opening, you could make a simple cover, right? Think about it. You're going to cut a square panel. That's going to be the size of the unit. And then you're going to make two, you're going to have one, two, three, four panels that you're going to have to whatever the depth is, right? And it's a simple sewing project. Then let me ask you this. Do you have this unit that's in the wall? Is there like a metal sleeve that sticks out of the wall a little bit?
The air conditioner does.
Right, the air conditioner does too.
I think
but
the sleeve is on the outside. Yeah,
right.
I'm not
but when
sure.
are you in the unit now?
Yes.
Okay. Can you see the unit that we're? Well, now it's wrapped in plastic, right?
Yes. Well, yeah. It looks hideous.
My point is that when you look at the unit itself, that you know where it protrudes out from the wall on the inside, is there like a little half inch lip that's all the way around it or something like that?
Yes, there's you know, like a board 3/4 inch or whatever it is that's pounded around it. Yeah, there is a piece of wood around it.
With a little ledge of some port, like a little. My point is what you could do then is take some Velcro, okay? Take the smoother part of the Velcro, and which has an adhesive backing, and put it around that little board all the way around.
Oh, okay.
And then on this little sewing project that you're going to create, I'm pretty sure this is my first sewing tip ever. You're going to sew on that little rim when you make this little boot that you're going to put over the top of it. You sew the Velcro onto that as well.
On top of it, okay.
On
and
the
that
thing
would
you're
help
create.
Keep it on the wall.
Correct. Then it sticks on the wall. It gives you a nice air seal. You can get it in a color that matches the wall, or you could, you know, do you celebrate Christmas?
Yes.
You could have a fabric that has little Christmas trees on it if you want. You could change it out.
Great.
You could make it part of your decor.
Maybe I'll get a patent on it, right?
You never know. Look at this. We're making money in 2016, me and you.
Well, I appreciate that because the plastic I use now, when I take it off, some of the paint comes off with it, you know, from the wall.
This would be, you know, if you're going to stay there for a little bit, I'm telling you what, this could be a little side business in the whole complex.
Well,
you
we
can
have
start making
them
for everybody.
Units.
Right. Think about it.
Yeah.
Do your template first, see how long it takes you, and then start your own little business.
Yeah. I don't think
Tess
I'm
is,
too old for that.
we'll call it Tess's, Tess's AC covers.
AC covers. That sounds good. Maybe I can make some money to pay for my assessments.
See what I mean? Come on, Tess.
Yeah.
You can do this.
Okay. I'm glad for your encouragement.
All right. Good luck to you. I appreciate you calling this morning.
Thank you very much, Lou. Bye-bye.
You got it. It's time now for WGN Radio News. After our news, we're going to do our Just Text Me segment. So if you've got any questions, you want to text it in, send it to 312-981-7200, which is our text line as well.
And we call it a phone, but we don't really use it much as a phone, do we? No, we don't.
Time for Just Text Me.
Who wants to talk? Oh, my God, I got to talk. Talking is work. You got to make facial expressions. You got to suck air in. You got to blow it out.
We love when you text us on the Mr. Fix-It Show, and every morning on Saturdays, rather, at 9:30, we'll read those texts. Just remember, don't text and drive. Sitting in the producer's chair with texts abounding is the New Year's girl, Lindsay Smithwick.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Oh, good.
Very good.
It's like we haven't talked all morning. How are you? Good to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
Okay, we've got some texts here coming in. One, I have cherry wood cabinets. What do I need to clean the cabinets, especially the ones above the stove?
Howard's Restore Finish.
Mm-hmm. I knew you were going to say that.
Quadruple Zero Steel Wool. They make a cherry, so there's a little bit of a color in it. It's a wood amalgamator. You hear me talk about this all the time, but if you have sticky cabinets where you've tried everything to get that gunk off of the surface, this has been the secret of the antique world forever, and it is just really good stuff. It's pungent, so it's a petroleum-based product. So this time of year, the tough part about it is you need to ventilate and open up a window. Make sure you wear gloves. Protect any areas underneath it because you don't want to, you know, drip on anything and possibly stain a countertop or something like that. So if you can put a drop cloth or some plastic, something like that would be a good idea. You pour the stuff into a little bowl, wear some rubber gloves. The steel wool is very fine. Go with the grain. Wipe it with a clean cotton rag, and it'll look great.
Don't you even have a video on how to do this on HowSmartsTV.com?
Oh, my gosh. It's like one mind. Yes, if you go to HowSmartsTV.com, which, by the way, next when we start filming again, it will be – this will all make us feel old. It's our 10th season of House Smarts in 2016. So we will be starting our 10th season with that show, and that's just amazing to me. But there is a video at HowSmartsTV.com. I think the keyword would probably be Howard's, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I would think, yeah.
Cool. Okay, next, we have a grease trap in the laundry room under the kitchen. I would like to remove it before it leaks and smells like a corpse as it did in our neighbor's house. Who do we call?
Mm-hmm. You don't know where they live?
It does not say, no.
Yeah. So if it's a grease trap that is, in other words, it's in line, it's a mechanical grease trap that has to be cleaned every now and then, City of Chicago requires that in new construction for homes. It's actually code that you have to keep it in. A plumber would be the person that would come and service something like this. It is a really good idea for the plumbing system if you have a grease trap. And yes, it smells nasty when it goes to get cleaned out, but if it gets cleaned out on a regular basis, your plumbing system will be happier for it. It really will. So you shouldn't remove it, but it would be a plumber that would come to service it.
Got it. Moving on, 815, how do you get drywall to look uniform after painting when you have patched and sanded nail holes, etc.? The sanded art looks smoother than the surrounding area.
Yeah. So the trick in painting, when the old school trick for painters is, and I guess now you could use an LED light, but I used to have a painter that we worked with years ago who had this giant 300 watt light bulb, like a big giant bulb that you probably saw in your science class in high school, you know, hanging from the ceiling. And he had this thing on a socket. That's all it was. And he would hold it up against the wall so you would cast a shadow and look along the plane of the wall so you could see the imperfections. Because when you look at a wall straight on, you can't really see the different layers of stuff going on. But when you move it to the side, that's where you see everything. The fact is, when you do these patching with spackle or lightweight compound, it is smoother. That's absolutely true. But then the way that you get the texture back is if you're going to roll that wall and repaint the whole thing, you need to use a roller that has a thick enough nap so you create a stipple in the paint film. And so if you're noticing that, if you're trying to touch this up with a brush, you'll always see that it's smoother. But if you use at least a roller with a 3/8 inch nap, and that's the thickness of the wool fibers, rather, it's not wool, but the fibers on the roller itself, when you go to roll it with the paint, you'll get that little stipple. One of the things that helps that too is it's the type of paint that you use. And so the newer paint and primers in one, they have a lot of acrylic in it. You know, I talk a lot about the Clark & Kensington that is an Ace product. And it's got a lot of acrylic in it, and so it's super sticky. And when you put it on with a roller, you'll get a nice little texture. It's not like a texture. It's a stipple. It's just a little bit of something. And that helps to blend all that patching in. But now we're talking about painting a wall corner to corner to get the, what you know, to get the look that you're trying to achieve.
I like that word, stipple.
That was a long answer. Sorry.
Time for a break.
It's the new year. I'm long-winded. I was off for a week. I've got lots to say.
Lots to talk about. 630. For years, I have treated my drains once a month with baking soda and vinegar. I recently heard that you should never put baking soda in a drain because it hardens down the line and destroys the pipe. True or false?
Doesn't mean it's wives' tale. I think what you're doing with the baking soda and the vinegar is doing nothing. It's doing nothing to benefit the pipes. If you want to do something to benefit the pipes, you need to use an enzyme that actually goes in there and eats up the gunk and kind of takes it all apart. And so the trick there is, what's one of the companies? Robic is one. And at night, before you go to bed, you pour it down the drains or you flush it down the toilet so that it kind of works its way in there, and then it can sit there with nobody using any water and start to munch away any of the buildup that could happen in the pipes. But the baking soda and vinegar thing, it's not doing anything.
Okay, and last, 630. Lou, my daughter bought a house built in 1952. There's a lot of updating to do. For a temporary fix, we'd like to paint the miles of paneling. What is the best way to prepare this before painting? P.S. She lives in Vermont.
Nice.
You love Vermont.
I love Vermont. I was just there in Burlington. So with the paneling, the trick there is, well, so the trick prior to the paint and primer in one, what I would tell you is you want to use a stain-killing primer and use a brush to paint the grooves first. And then you can roll over the top of that. Depending on the age and the thickness, not the thickness, but the age and the finish that's on there. But with all these paint and primers in one, you can kind of eliminate that step. What I would tell you to do is get a sanding sponge and lightly sand the paneling first. Not crazy, but you're just trying to open up the finish that's on that paneling. You know, if it's got a little, some type of varnish on it, or even if it's a synthetic where it's almost like a pre-finished floor, you want to just rough up the surface a little bit so it opens up the pores. And then if you use a paint and primer in one and do a first coat, again, cutting the lines with a brush first, then roll, come back around again, do the same thing to get a nice even finish over the top of it, you'll be amazed at how nice it looks. And I actually really like the look of painted paneling. I think it's a really pretty look, and you can do colors, you can do whatever. And you know, if removing all of that and putting plaster or wallboard, whatever it may be, is just too daunting of a task, putting paint on the paneling is one of the best things you can do.
All right, that is our new Tulu too.
I'm sorry. Just text me. Your name is Lindsay. This is just text me.
New year, new me.
Tulu too. We did right. Yeah. Stop. Avoid. Here's what I'd like you to try doing. Stop putting stuff in your coffee.
Oh, I did do that this morning. Well, you're not in the studio here, so it's like...
Exactly, right. And you're drunk.
Like a free day.
So stop doing that. Right. Okay. At 9:44 in the morning, let's go back to the phone lines right now. We've got Hap in Des Moines. Hap, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Let me get out of the living room here so you don't have all the racks in the background. Lou, what is the difference between a new... or use, either way, mobile home and manufactured home?
Well, a mobile home is a home that you can move. So the mobile home has a wide range of definitions. A Winnebago camper that you get behind the wheel and drive, that's a mobile home. A trailer home that is a trailer that they have in trailer parks that they set up and put the skirts, those technically are mobile homes as well. A manufactured home is one that is built in a factory setting where they will build rooms and built it in a modular sense, so a manufactured module home, and they'll deliver to a job site where they have a foundation awaiting and assemble it all there. So there's a little bit of mincings in words because sometimes people will call mobile homes manufactured homes as well, but that's a wide-ranging term. But in my definition, that's how I would describe it. Are you considering one of these?
No, a friend of mine is, though, and that's why I've got my curiosity up, and they're blind. Is there anything to look for in a manufactured home differently than you would for a mobile home?
Okay. So, and are we, if we're going to use the definition of a mobile home being that it's a trailer that gets put somewhere?
No, let's assume it's... No, let's assume you're going to be staying in one place.
Okay. So if you're going to be staying in one... Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to be staying in one place and you want to... And you're looking to... So here's kind of the skinny on manufactured modular homes. We've actually done some stories on House Smarts about these as well. The idea is that these homes are built in a factory setting. So they're indoors, they're weather controlled. So you're not, you know, if you're building a house right now outside, which there are homes being built right now, you know, you've got to deal with the weather and the cold and the rain and things get wet. And not that there's not anything wrong with that, but, you know, the delays in getting it all built go into the overall cost of the home. So the argument is if you build a modular home, a manufactured modular home, you still have to buy a piece of land or lease a piece of land, depending on what the story is, put a foundation in. But then once that's all in, the home gets built, and the waiting time for the whole process should be a little shorter. And so you can save some money on the carry of what it costs to build the whole thing. And there's an argument that says that modular homes and manufactured homes can be better built because of the factory setting. So the guy's not freezing his tail off going, I don't want to do this because I'm so cold. He's, you know, it's 70 degrees inside the warehouse where he's building this thing, and the fit and finish tends to be pretty good. And so if you are having something built from a quality manufacturer, I mean, somebody that knows what they're doing, then you can you can be assured that you're going to get a really nice home delivered, assembled, exactly like you want. And again, the overall build time from start to finish should be shorter, which should ultimately save you some money. I hope that helps. I appreciate the phone call, Hap. It's 9:48 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after these.
Happy trails to you.
So sad. Already?
Until we meet.
Thank you so much for listening to the first show of 2016. Appreciate you joining us. I hope you had a lovely holiday, and the new year is filled with all kinds of good stuff. And our last caller is going to be Jane in Wisconsin. Hi, Jane. You're on WGN.
Good morning, Lou. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Will you do me a favor? When we're done speaking, will you hold on, because I want to send you out an April Air event-based thermostat from our friends at American Weather Makers for all your heating and cooling needs in the northern half of the Chicagoland area. Go to AmericanWeatherMakers.com. How can I help you today?
Okay, thank you so much. We had some new cabinets installed in our kitchen, and one of the cabinets holds the garbage bin, and I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, and then you push it gently, and it goes back in, okay? Well, the carpenter was back once to adjust it. It doesn't seem to work. It does not seem to be a very well-engineered product, okay? So now, the other day, I'm looking at the front of the cabinet door, and it's like tilted to the left. And you can tell when it goes in that it's catching on something. So I'm going back to the place where we bought the cabinets, and they're very nice people, and I'm sure they'll make it right. But what I want to know from you is, are there different companies that make these inserts for the cabinets that hold the garbage bin?
Yeah, there are, but the main, well, they are. Like, the main hardware maker of this is a company called Behr.
Okay.
And I believe it's spelled B-A-E-R.
Okay.
And they, I will tell you this, that the garbage can thing is a tough one, because it's a nice piece of hardware, but it's a lot of weight. And so, you know, you load up the garbage can and you're sliding this thing back and forth, back and forth. And so, to me, it's always kind of problematic. The best
I was wondering, you just haven't ordered a new door, and I'll just set it in there and take all that out, and I'll just pull the thing out when I need it.
Well, I mean, it's not as convenient, but it's probably a more long-term, you know, stronger solution. But there are a couple of different makers. One, the one that I like the best is actually the drawer portion that the garbage can sits on.
Yes.
There's a base that slides out. Okay. And so the door is the one that you have. Is it up high that the can drops into?
No, but actually my son has that, and he's very techy, and he was home at Christmas, and we discussed this the other night, and he said the one that he has that is like what you just said, he feels works better than what I have. This is all metal on the bottom. It's a bunch of metal pieces, metal.
Right.
And I think she said it was a retrofit.
Yeah. Yeah. why don't you have the cabinet company look into a Behr garbage can system. I'm sure they can get it. If it's a cabinet company, they'll be able to get that. And that can be played. It comes in different sizes, but you know, your cabinets are they're standard sizes. So, I mean, they can get that in that size, and then it can be mounted. The door can be put on correctly. And I think you'll probably be, you'll be happy with how that performs. But again, whenever you have these garbage can systems, it's tough because it's a lot of weight and you're pushing on it, and it's just hardware. And it does take a little tweaking every now and then to get it just right. But if you do this, I think you'll be happy with how it all works out. Thank you so much for the phone call, and hang on a second so we can get you out that April Air event-based thermostat. Quick break, and we'll talk to the ladies.
Jim Belushi, Elvis Costello, Joyce Randolph, Bill Jackson, and Johnny Galecki. Some of my favorite conversations of the year, and we'll share them with you tonight.
Dave Flyer, overnight tonight.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
The new year brings resolutions and goals to improve your lifestyle and well-being. If improving your home is something you want to check off your list in 2016, then look no further than Goods Furniture in Kewaunee, Illinois. Here's why. Goods isn't your run-of-the-mill cookie-cutter furniture store. It's so much more. It's fun. It's adventurous. And your family and friends are going to have just an enjoyable time when you go out there. It's something you need to see to believe. From the market square shops to the glass elevators, the skywalks connecting the multi-building campus, there's something at Goods for everyone. It's big city selection in small town prices. So make a day of it in the new year. It's an easy drive west on I-80. And as we ring in the new year, Goods is ringing in, get this, 121 years of the good life in Kewaunee, Illinois. How can a furniture company last that long? Well, how about giving people everyday exceptional value and selection? Make the trip at Goods and add quality furniture to your home. Goods Furniture, open every day from 9 until 6. No hype, just honest-to-goodness value. That's Goods Furniture, day in and day out. 9:57 in the morning. Kathy and Judy standing by. You ladies are fabulous.
Why?
No, he's doing the compliment thing.
Oh, it's a compliment. Oh, see, I guess that shows how comfortable I am with compliments.
Lou, I want to alert you that we're going to do a show that is New Year's resolution free.
That would be good.
And the funniest thing I saw on Facebook this whole week was a cartoon that said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to open a fitness gym for 2 weeks and then turn it into a bar, because that's about how long.
Attainable, right. That's how
do what they say they're going to do.
Yeah. Do you do them?
No.
No, me neither.
No, I'm not. I'm just trying to do, you know what? Like all of us, I'm just trying to get through today. I don't want to work out too far in advance. I remember, you know, the whole resolution, everybody's going to lose weight and everything. Years ago, I remember listening to John Williams, one of his shows, and he said, you know, I am going to, you know, because now you'll read, you know, the Today Show and everything, this new diet book or this new fitness book, you know, the whole thing. And John's like, I'm going to write a get better book. And in page one, it's going to say, eat less. And page two, it's going to say, exercise more. The end. That's it.
But it won't be a big seller because nobody wants to hear that. Our former program director, Mary June Rose, posted, I can't believe it's been a year since I didn't become a better person. So that pretty much applies to all of us. All right, Lou, have a good day. Happy New Year.
Take care, ladies.
Thanks. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago.